Take our Bibles this morning to the book of Genesis, chapter number 6. Genesis, chapter number 6. This past week, we've been learning about at Kids Crusade about Noah. And the Lord really encouraged my heart with a number of things on the story of Noah. And I thought I'd share some of them with you this morning. I know the young people in the back had the opportunity to hear it all throughout the week. And I know a few of the people were... It was loud up here, too. So you think it was loud there, you should try wearing it. So, but the young people in the back got to hear. I know a few of you may have been invitation workers in there. You might have heard a little bit about Noah throughout the week. But I think these are some things as I was studying and reading through it that were an encouragement to me. As Genesis, the story of Noah is Genesis chapter 6 through 8. We're not going to go through all three chapters. We're just going to kind of highlight, and the title of this morning's message is, What Encourages Me About Noah? What Encourages Me About Noah? There's three different things I want you to look at this morning, and I think they can be a help and a blessing to you. I know they were a help and a blessing to me, and the Lord spoke to my heart this week about these things. The first thing I want you to see about is Noah's testimony. Noah's testimony. Here in Genesis chapter number 6, I want you to read verses 5 through 9. It says, And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So we see the problem here. There's a huge problem in the world. God has created the world, and here we see that it's now pretty much everyone's imagining wicked and evil things is what's on their heart. It's what's on their mind. Verse number 6, And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. We see that by seeing his creation and the way his creation has gone, it grieved the Lord, it said. Verse number 7, And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Now, once again, we could spend a lot of time in lots of portions here and spend weeks and months talking about Noah, but I want you to see there's a big problem here. Sin has invaded the mankind through Adam and Eve, and because of that, it's been passed down. Well, it's a very, very wicked place. We live in a very wicked time and day, but this, I believe, was even a more wicked time and day. The Bible even says in Luke 17:26, And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man, that there is a day coming, and I believe we're very close, and even in parts of it right now in the day and time that we live in, that there's a very great wickedness around us. Verse number 8, it says, But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, we learned a lot this past week, and the millions and millions of people that were here and that were alive on the earth, Noah was the one that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Look what it says in verse number 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God, and Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So here's the thing, the first thing I want you to see here. You see the problems, you see the sin issues, but you see Noah's testimony. First thing that encourages me in this story about Noah is that Noah took a stand for God. You see Noah's testimony, and I want you to think about Noah's testimony in three different ways. First, I want you to see about Noah's testimony with God. So what do you mean? Noah's testimony with God. How God thought about it. Now, we can all have different testimonies. We can all have different people think certain things about us. I've heard people stand up and say, well, I think this is a good person. I think this is a good lady. I think this person loves the Lord. I think this person is a Christian. I think this person serves God with all their heart, all their mind, all their soul. But you know what? What is your testimony before God? We've been talking about in our Sunday school series about building below the baseline. This idea of developing the areas that only God sees. That relationship that we have with God. The spot that is just only between you and God. You're the ones that know everything that's in your life. And God, what would God say about you? And God gives a testimony of Noah here. God says something about Noah. First, you see in verse number 8, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This idea of grace is speaking of the unmerited favor of God. And I once again, we could spend a long time talking about that. But I just kind of want to put it this way. It was something that God could bless Noah. God could take Noah's testimony and see how Noah was living despite the rest of the world had gone towards wickedness. The rest of the world was not living for him. We see one man that finds grace in the eyes of the Lord, one man who's taking a stand, one man that has a testimony, and they say, look, this is the man that God can bless. I want you to say that. I want you to know that in the day and time we look at, we point people and say, well, there's a good person, there's a good person, there's this, there's that. And sometimes later on, you'll find that maybe they were living a wicked life that nobody even knew about. What is your testimony? What would God say about you this morning? What would God say about you? Let's see what he says. That he once again, he was a man that God could bless. But also, you see, these are the generations. And Noah was a just man and a perfect in his generations. Now, this idea of being just, I think, is referring to the fact he did right. And he did by truth. He kept God's commandments. Also, it can give us the idea of being justified. And the fact that he had found and put his faith in God. And he was perfect in his generations. I think this is in comparison to all the other generations that are around him. All the other people that are around them were doing wicked. They had their mind wicked on wickedness all the time, continually thinking of evil and thinking of bad things and wrong things. But Noah, and this word perfect, we saw also in the book of Job, it's this idea of being mature, someone who was close to the Lord and becoming like the Lord and someone who loved the Lord. Was he perfect? No. And the fact that he never sinned? No, we know that he sinned. You go a few chapters over after God even blesses him through the experience with the ark, he goes and he does something stupid later on. He wasn't perfect in the fact that he did not sin. He was perfect in his the way he did things compared to the rest of his generations. And then not only is there a testimony of him being a just person, not only a testimony of him being a person who's mature in his walk with God, but that last phrase, you see what it says? It says he walked with God. And look what it says there. It says Noah walked with God. So this is what God says about him. God says that he's a person that I can bless. God says that he is a person that does right, and a person compared to all the other generations, he's a person that is perfect in the idea that he's mature in his decision making, and he is a person who walks with me. And I think of this idea of walking with God, it reminds me, if you're going to walk with somebody, you're going to have to agree with them. Right? Don't you agree? If I say, hey, let's say to my wife, hey, let's go ahead and take a walk down the street, and I go down, we go out of the parking lot, and I make a right towards Rosecroft, and she makes a left to go to Oak Stump, you know, we're not walking together anymore, are we? See, to walk with God means that you're going to agree with God. Let me let you into a little secret. God is not going to change. So it's either, God's not going to agree with you. So if you're going to walk with God, you're going to have to say, you know what? He's a person who walked with God. He's a person who agreed with God, a person who stayed close to God. Not only is it an agreeing walk, but it's a continual thing. It wasn't just, hey, we're going to walk together for a little while. No, the testimony to God says, it says that he was a man that was just, he was perfect in his generations compared to everyone else, a man that he could bless, and a man that walked with me means that he agreed with me, means that he stayed close to me, had that relationship and walking with him. I don't know about you, but that encouraged me. Despite how bad the world was, it encouraged me. You know, I can look at this and say to young people nowadays, it doesn't matter what school you go to, you can have a testimony and stand for God. Doesn't matter who's in your family, you can have a testimony and stand for God. If Noah can be the only one out of the millions of people that God says, there's a man I can bless, there's a man I can use, and no matter how dark it gets in this world, we can have a testimony, we can stand for God. What is your testimony with God today? Not only did I think about that, I thought about his testimony concerning others. Say, what do you mean concerning others? Well, you can't walk with God and not have other people take notice. You can't live for God in a wicked world and not have people say, there's something different about him. And I can imagine, we like to invent stories and like to think about things. There were scoffers there, there were people who mocked Noah. You know, but what about his testimony of others? I think in 2 Peter 2:5, the Bible says, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. It was a preacher of righteousness. We don't know exactly what Noah preached, but I can imagine if I was there and God had told me that it was going to rain, and I was building this giant ark, I'd be saying, get on the boat. You know, he's the preacher of righteousness. What you're doing is wrong and God's going to punish the world. Get on the boat and that God will save you. There's going to be rain falling from heaven. You know what his testimony concerning others was? He cared about others. He preaches the word of God. He preaches the truth of God. He preaches righteousness. And I can imagine anyone who had heard Noah preaching as they saw the water coming, they probably wasn't too concerned. They probably just went to a higher hill and maybe to another higher hill. But when they knew their doom was there, you know what they could say? Noah's testimony was, you know, Noah did warn us. They might not have been happy about it. They might have been cursing all the way down, but they could not say that Noah did not care enough to stand for many years boldly proclaiming the truth and the testimony that Noah had. And this encouraged me. Now, he had a good testimony of God, but he had this testimony of others. He told us. He warned us. I wonder how many of us, when we stand at that judgment, when we see, I think that we might be there when the great white throne judgment's in, and it talks about how blood on our hands and the idea that there was people we could have told and we never did. Some of us won't have that testimony. He told me. He warned me. Noah had that testimony. He was a preacher of righteousness. I could see him preaching and saying, hey, there's a flood coming. But you imagine how ridiculous that sounds. Waters never came from the sky before, a flood. No, that's ridiculous. I know sometimes people will look at us and say, ridiculous story. God became man, died for the sins of mankind. You know what? It's truth. And just like Noah had this testimony of others, he presented that. I wonder what others would say about us. He told me the truth. He told me about the way of heaven. Third thing I want you to see here. Not only is it a testimony with God, a testimony before God, testimony concerning others, I want you to see the testimony with his family. Look at chapter 7, verse number 7. Chapter 7, verse number 7. And Noah went in, and his son, and his wife, and his son's wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Say, what are you getting at, Pastor? His kids went in there with him. I don't know about you. Sometimes I ask my kids to do some crazy things. Just, you know, fun things for church, you know, teen activities. And sometimes I had these ideas. Hey, guys, do you think this would work for a kids' crusade game? Or do you think this would work for a teen activity? And young people were up for crazy things sometimes. And I like to think that if God told me something specific to go and do something, that my family would be all on board and would be willing to help. But do you imagine how difficult or how much of a question these sons, not only their sons, but their sons' wives, saying, we trust what you say. We see, Dad, that your relationship with God is real because you are a righteous person, you're just, you walk with God. And if you say God told you to build an ark and that water was going to fall from the sky, we believe you, we trust your testimony so much that we're going to be willing to follow you on a boat, and going to live on that boat for over a year. I don't know about you, how many of our kids would do that today with us? I'm not talking about our kids that are home. You know, where else is Andrew going to eat if he doesn't come with me? You know, Andrew come because we're going to feed him, yes. But what about your grown kids that have their own families, have their own opinions, have their own wives? How many would listen to us and they see our walk with God is so real? They says, we believe in what you're saying, Dad. We've seen you live this way. It's sort of like when Abraham took Isaac. I don't believe Isaac was some little boy. He could carry the wood with him. And so he must have been at least big enough and strong enough to run away from his dad. No. Isaac said, if God told you to do this, I'm willing to lie down on the altar. If God told you, Dad, Noah, to build this ark, I'm willing to get on this boat with you. I don't know about you, but he must have had a good testimony with his family. I wonder today, this morning, how's her testimony with God? I mean, that part only to God sees. I mean, that part, then, what would God describe you as? We talk about how he described Job as a person who was askew evil, a person that God could trust in the hands of the devil, knowing that Job was still going to worship him and that Job was still going to do what was right. And same thing with Noah. He comes, he finds Noah, and he sees Noah's life, and he sees Noah's character. He knows Noah's heart, and he said, that's a person I can bless. That's a person I can demonstrate my grace to and through to the whole entire world. What about our testimony amongst others? Will they be able to make an accusation? They never told me. Like I said, I doubt that Noah was able to reach the millions that were there. But if there's some guy building a boat somewhere, I bet you people are going to come look at it. And I bet you Noah told a lot of people. Now, I'm sure the story spread. Very sophisticated area in time during that time period. Also, testimony concerning his family. I want to have a testimony to where my family would say, we know your walk with God is real. If God's spoken to your heart, we're behind you. That's what we should desire to have. Standing for God amongst a bunch of wickedness. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? That's the truth here. Second thing that encouraged me about Noah's life was not only his testimony, I'd like to see show you his trust for a few minutes, his trust. Look what it says in chapter 6, verse number 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted in his way. Chapter 6, verse number 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Verse 14. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without, within and with pitch. Now, look what it says in verse 22, chapter 6, 22. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Now go to chapter number 7, look at verse number 5. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. You know what Noah did? He trusted God. You know, if we're going to trust God, you know what we're going to do? We're going to obey God. If we're going to trust God, we're going to obey Him. Noah, you think about it. Noah trusts God right now with his reputation. His reputation is on the line. He is saying water is falling from the sky. He has a boat that he's building. He's probably hiring people. You know, all these different things. He is his reputation. He trusted God with his family. You know, that God was going to take care of his family. He trusts God with his life. He trusts God with his resources. I'm sure that there was some way that he had to give of the things that he had to be able to build this ark. And the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Noah was relying on God, and he was obeying God no matter what happened. Can you imagine? Think about how difficult it must have been for Noah to obey God on such a tough assignment. But God gave him the ability to do it. And I think there's sometimes when we need to ask God to trust God with areas of our life that we struggle with. And I told the kids this past week, I had the opportunity of preaching on Wednesday night to them about trusting God. And it says, look, if you can trust God with your souls, and we talked about salvation, we sent the people out of the room that were interested in knowing about it. I says, if you can trust God with your souls, now, what is it you cannot trust God with? Why do we have such problems trusting God about what friends we should have or how we should treat our families or how we should raise our kids or what we should do with our resources or about telling other people about Jesus Christ? How come we think we have a say when it comes to that? But when it comes to our souls, if we're a Christian, there's got to be a time and a moment in our lives when we say, I can't take care of my soul, Lord. I need to put my faith and trust in you, and I'm trusting you and you alone to save my soul. This past week, one of the most convicting thoughts I had is in our room that Wednesday night, we acted out building the ark. And it was Brother Jim's idea. We talked together. I told Brother Jim, it's too much work. Don't really want to do it, but I'm glad we did it. But that week, they actually put a tape around the ark, a shape of an ark, and they had Noah, Mrs. Noah, the three Noah boys, and three Noah boys' wives, even had some animals on the ark, and they were all in the ark and was outlined in blue tape. And then the rest of the room, some of them were scoffers, and but it was like, as I was sitting there teaching and preaching, it was the idea here that it reminded me that, you know, the eight people that were on the ark, they were safe. But everybody else in the room, they died. And there was even people laying there on the ground, the scoffers that were there. They actually threw cotton balls at Noah because they were scoffing him. It was kind of neat. But we made the scoffers keel over and die. And some of them did it dramatically. You know how they kind of walk around like this and they fall to the ground. But then I sat and thought, and even while I was teaching, it was just like, looked across the room and there's a lot of people sitting there. People that we would consider good people. And it's like, okay, those there are still alive. But the rest are gone. And I know we don't think about it that much. Because if we consider eight were alive and millions were lost, it just can blow our minds if you consider that. And then you think about how God provided a way for Noah, that ark. Noah had to obey by building the ark. Noah had to trust God with his reputation, his family, his life, his resources. But, you know, either you were on the ark or you were perished. And then we began talking about how God shut the door. And then we gave the illustration of how Jesus said he was the door. And that how God saved Noah and his family because they got on the boat. And then how God gave us a way of salvation too. That the world was going to be punished because of their sin. The world was going to be judged because of their sin. And if they didn't get on the ark, they were going to be lost. And then that Jesus Christ is a similar story, that we are lost without Christ. And if we don't accept Jesus Christ, he is our way. Just as the ark was the way for Noah and his family, Jesus Christ is our way for today. And if we're not in Jesus Christ, we're lost just like all those that died and drowned in the flood. That, I don't know about you, but that encouraged me to want to share that with other people. I was like, look, young people, these eight are protected. These eight are safe. The rest of you aren't. The rest of you aren't. And I want to encourage you this morning. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're in just as a bad case as these others were too, that were lost. If you're not in Christ, if you haven't accepted him as your personal Savior, and we began talking about what accepting Christ was, and they use the words admit, you know, admitting that you're a sinner, repenting of your sins, seeing that your sins have separated you from God, and that you change your thought, that you cannot save yourself anymore, you can't trust in yourself, but you need God and what Jesus Christ, and believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and that he was buried, and he rose again, and that he was God, and he did these things for us to pay our sin debt for us, and receive him as our personal Savior. Admit, believe, receive. Christians, we're on the ark right now. We're safe. But if you're here this morning, if you've never asked Jesus Christ in your heart as your personal Savior, you're in bad shape. If you die without Christ, you go to a horrible place called hell that was prepared for the devil and the angels. And I sat there and I looked at that and it says, look at all these other people. They're sitting there. There's only eight there, but there was 25 in one of the other rooms and 15 to 20 in the other. We taught it twice. They were lost, without hope. That encouraged me to want to be able to tell other people about Christ. Just as the ark was the way, Jesus Christ on that cross was our way. What is our testimony like with others? Do we tell people that? You're here this morning without Christ. Do you want to get that settled? Third thing I want you to see, not only was it Noah's testimony and Noah's trust, I want you to see Noah's thanksgiving. Look at it says in chapter number 8, verse number 20. Chapter 8 and verse number 20. I know we're skipping a lot, but just trying to do some things here about the things God encouraged me with this week. Noah chapter 8, verse 20, and it says, and Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Third thing I want you to see is how Noah was thankful. He built an altar. Now, he said, yeah, of course he's going to be thankful. And he is. But you got to imagine, this has got to be difficult for Noah and his family. We don't know exactly who his extended family was, but we got to assume that at least Noah's daughter-in-laws had moms and dads, right? And probably brothers and sisters that were lost. Friends that were lost. Cousins that were lost in the flood. You imagine what it would have been like during that time trying to build it, get off an ark and try to build a life again, raising a family in that way. Relatives are gone. Emotions are high. They talked about how things would have been different physically back then, how the mountains and would have been different and all the different things because of the ark, that all the different things that would have happened because of all the earthquakes and the volcanoes and things like that. Man, how the world would have been completely different getting off that boat. And I thought about it for a little while, getting off that boat. What could have been in Noah's heart and mind? Could have been, man, this is going to be tough. This is going to be hard. I'm never going to see this person again. I'm never going to see this person again. Dealing with daughter-in-laws are probably hard enough to begin with, but dealing with daughter-in-laws who lost their families could be difficult. And then, you know, what if they didn't have certain skills? They weren't going to be able to have certain, you know, their homes were gone. Everything was gone. They were rebuilding from the beginning. But you know what? That's not what Noah's concerned about. I think when Noah gets off that ark, his heart is so full of praise, so full of thanksgiving that God saved him and saved his family through that ark. All he wants to do is offer sacrifice to God. And he's got all those complications. He has all those problems, all those things he's going to have to fix, all those things he's going to deal with, all those things that is going to be the challenges of raising. Imagine being your, everyone's going to come from you. Imagine, you know, all those different things that could have, the devil could have been working on his mind over time. And he's like, no. We're not going to worry about any of that until we take time to be thankful. Until we take time and get around this altar and tell God, thank you for saving us from this flood. And I tell you, in our lives today, we do have a lot of things that mess with us. We got a lot of things to worry about, a lot of things that can cause us to struggle, a lot of things that would cause us to be overwhelmed. But if we will not forget what Jesus Christ did for us on that cross, if we will not forget that he has saved our sins and our soul, saved us from our sins and our souls from hell, all we will want to do is just to stop and say, thank you, Lord, for what you did. Now, does it mean that all the problems are the way? No. But I think God is pleased when we're thankful. Look what it says here in verse number 21. He smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, he was pleased with that fact that Noah was willing to do this for, you know, that there's so much to do. Noah says, first thing we're going to do is we're going to stop, and we're going to say thank you. We're going to offer praise to God. We're going to worship God. That encouraged me. Because I began thinking what it would have been the challenge to restart the earth population. You know, we got to go build this house. We got to make sure we're safe here. We got to make sure these animals don't all run away or blah, blah, whatever, all the different challenges. And Noah says, no. The first thing we're going to do, and we're not going to forget what God did for us in this boat. And I think if we would learn to say, I am not going to forget what Christ did for me on Calvary, we'll be able to, like the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And everything, I'm going to be able to give thanks to God, because no matter what happens to me in this world, I know he has saved my soul and I'm on my way to heaven. Now, if you're here today and you're not gone the way of the cross, you've never asked Jesus Christ in your heart as your personal Savior, you have much to be concerned about. You have much to be worried about. This morning, I want to encourage you to get that settled and taken care of. One last verse I want to remind you of. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the savings of his house. He says he moved with fear. This gives this implication of godly fear. You say, what is godly fear? It is someone who takes God seriously, who stands in awe of him. Christian, I wonder if we really take God seriously. Do we really stand in awe of him? Noah took God seriously. God said, there's going to be rain fall from the sky. I want you to build this big boat. He's like, what's a boat? And he's like, and God tells him, shows him. He took him seriously. Okay, Lord, you said it, I'm going to do it. We take him seriously. Noah, move with fear, took him seriously. So what can we learn today? Man, I think we can be encouraged with a lot of things today. Number one, do we got a good testimony? And I'm not talking about our testimony amongst our church family. And that we do want that to be good, don't get me wrong. But we can play a good role and we can look good on the outside to people who love us. I'm talking about our testimony with God. I'm talking about our testimony with others that are without Christ. And I'm talking about our testimony inside our families, the one who sees us and knows us and lives with us. Do we have a good testimony there? Because if not, that's something that should cause us to say, Lord, I want to do better. How about our trusting God? Have we trusted God with our souls? Are you on the way to heaven today? If not, accept Him. Remember, the eight on the ark was the one that was saved. But if you listen to the verse in verse number 23 in chapter number 7, it says, and everything substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both men and cattle and creeping things and the fowls of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. Noah only remained alive and they that were with him in the ark. God's going to do that again someday. There's only certain ones that are going to heaven. As if you got, have you accepted Christ? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. It's only through Christ. And if you can trust God with your soul, what are you not trusting God with now? What are you not trusting God with? Then last but not least, how thankful are you today? I know it's easy to complain. It's easy to murmur, mumble. It's easy to be so focused on what you got to do and what's bothering you, what's worrying you. But the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. How can you do that? How can Paul and Silas sing at midnight? It's because they remember what God did for them. And that's what Noah was like. I got one of the toughest things ever to be asked to be done, to restart the human population with my children. He said, before I'm going to get building houses and before I'm going to get, I'm going to build this altar and I'm going to spend some time thanking God. How often do we really thank God? It pleases God when we thank Him. He tells us to thank Him. How often do we really, truly thank Him? I tell you, those are some things that encouraged me this week. And I bet you there are some things in there that can help you a little bit this week if you let God do the work in your heart. Let God work in your heart about your testimony, your trust, and your thanksgiving. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.